That?
Yeah, that lady talks to me. Okay, here we go. Can't get away. Do you have one of them? Direction things in your car to lady. They're always telling you what to do. Not you, lady. You got your one. All right, here we go. 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we finished the introduction, if you will, of the beast that comes out of the sea. We talked about that. Interesting, doing some study on this one. There's commentators. I was really surprised because I think one of them that I read was J. Vernon McGee that kind of indicated that this guy was actually Antichrist. Well, he is Antichrist, but I don't believe that he is the Antichrist. I believe the first one was. And his reasoning was because again, he interpreted the same way that this one out of the earth this one out of the earth would be one who would come out of Israel, be Jewish because of that terminology that's used there. And he didn't believe that the Jews would receive anybody as Christ, as Messiah, which the Antichrist would be presented as, unless they were Jewish. Unless you have a powerful Jewish religious leader who says, now it's okay. Remember, the Jews, for the most part, don't even read the scripture anymore. They're reading rabbinical writings and the rabbinical. Some of them are not even reading the rabbinical writings. They're reading the rabbinical interpretations of the writings. So, and you go over to Israel, they talk about that with you. That most of the Jewish people have no idea what the scripture says at all. They've never read it. Not even their own first five books. They don't read it. They just read the rabbinical writings and some of the Mishnah and different things like that. So. The truth is, if you talk to most Jewish people, they are, and I don't mean this in a bad sense, in the sense they're dumb. They're not dumb. They're just ignorant of what the Bible says. They've never been taught. It's not a part. It's not even everything to them. How many saw a fiddler on the roof? Everything to them is tradition, including the writings and what the rabbis put out. So when you speak to Jewish people, don't be surprised. They have no concept of what you're talking about when you talk about scripture. It's not a part. It's not a part of who they are. Okay, so American people too. It really is surprising when you did a survey on the ignorance of the scripture, it would blow your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this before. I think we'd all be surprised if we stood outside of many of our churches and just asked basic questions when people walked out. You'd be surprised how many people didn't know the basic stuff. All right, so let's go on to chapter 13, verse 11, and this is. John continuing, this is actually the second part of the vision that God has given. Now, think about this. God has chosen to reveal to John these two personalities. I'll just use that term as we come to this portion of scripture. He's already revealed the dragon. And we know who he is. The interpretation is clear. I mean, he interpreted it for us. This is the devil. This is Satan. And so when we have these three, I remind you that Satan is not original in anything that he does. He always tries to mimic God. Even the thought of Antichrist is a mimic of what God has done. So you have an unholy trinity here. You have the dragon, Satan, representing the Father. You have the Antichrist is the beast out of the sea. He represents the Son, and you'll see why that's true in a moment. And then you have the beast out of the earth represents or mimics the Holy Spirit. Okay, so and some of his description will clarify some of that to you. So here's what he says in verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. So the first picture that he gives us here, again, we have a beast coming out of the sea. Remind you that the beast, here in this case, you have two beasts. They're people, they're literal people, but they're also part of a system. The beast is a system. In the same way when we studied Daniel, you saw Nebuchadnezzar was Babylon and Babylon was Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. So when you talk about the beast, again, context, you have to ask the question, is he talking about the system? Is he talking about the person? Here, he's clearly talking about an individual. Okay. This individual, you can see, again, depending on who you read, what you actually see here is he's religious in nature, and we'll see more of that in a minute. But even the description, the lamb with two horns, is a religious reference. Who do we know to be the Lamb? Well, it's Jesus, okay? And that again, is another reason why some people say this is Antichrist. I don't believe this is Antichrist. I believe he's a religious individual who will do what the Holy Spirit does with Jesus. What is blaspheming the Holy Spirit in a very basic definition?
Unbelief in it. Rejection.
Rejection or rejection of Jesus or unbelief. Okay? It's the only sin the Bible says that is not possible to be forgiven of. So think about it. If you don't believe, what's going to happen to you? Well, you're going to die in your sins. Every other sin has a possibility. That doesn't mean every other sin is forgiven automatically, but it has a possibility. There's no sin greater than the grace of God, except for the sin. I wouldn't even say it's greater. But if you reject Jesus, you know. So what does the Holy Spirit do toward people? He's the one who calls you. He's the one that the Bible says, Jesus says he's going to come and he will convict you of sin. He's the one to convict you of sin. He's the one that will convince you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah. And he's the one who will give you the faith that you need to trust in Jesus Christ. If you reject that, and again, I understand there are different theological systems that says when you get to that point, you can't reject. But I would say that if you reject that, you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You have rejected the final call. And I'm not saying that happens immediately, because I really actually know very few people that have trusted Jesus the first time they heard the gospel. Sometimes it takes a while and stuff. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to be patient with us and stuff. Well, what happens when you get to that point where the Holy Spirit says, I'm no longer going to strive with you. I'm no longer. Well, you can't even possibly be saved. That's why these people who say to you, I'll just wait and see if what you Christians say is true, and then I'll trust in Jesus. No, you won't. Matter of fact, there's some statements actually here in Paul's statement says that when that day comes, God will give them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie. Not the truth, they'll believe the lie. Why? He says, because they rejected the truth. That's why the Bible, so when it says today's your day of salvation, if today's the day the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, you better be responsive, because there's no guarantee that he'll ever speak to your heart that way again. And you cannot come to God except the Holy Spirit bring you. It's impossible. People don't just say, okay, I'll believe. No, it's not possible unless the Holy Spirit is involved in that. So this two horns represent for us, what will he display? What will he put forth? He will put forth a Christ. He will put forth the Messiah. We're going to see who that Messiah is from his perspective. Okay. So, but he notice here, he has the horn, gentle, seems to be gentle as a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Now those are the opposite extremes of one another. Okay. When I think about that, the interpretation of that he speaks like a dragon, what do we know about dragons? We sort of went, there really is nothing good we know about dragons. Dragons always have devoured, even when you're talking about mythology, or you believe that they existed, and some people do. I wouldn't dispute that, but the point is that when they speak, they devour.
Jackie Horner had a great relationship.
That's exactly right. With it, Puff.
Yeah.
Yeah. They live by the sea. Okay. Okay, we're not going to start singing that. Right. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. Oh, you were going that way too? You two can leave the room. All right, here we go. But that's the visual that he gives here. Remember, he is using certainly symbolic language to speak of a literal person. What kind of person will this be? He will present himself as being religious, being accepted, being, by the way, can I just throw this out to you? This to me is being mirrored right now today in churches. And here's what I mean. Some people, I'll say it anyways, I don't care. So the progressives are this. You don't believe me? Progressives present themselves as being acceptable, accepting anybody, being gentle, being kind, being benevolent, being all these things, except if you preach Jesus Christ and him only, they will devour you with their mouths. They'll destroy you if they can. It's, you know, again, true biblical faith is not established to destroy anybody. See, you and I are Bible believers. Here's what we believe. We believe judgment belongs to God. Bible says that very clear, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not my place to condemn anybody. Now, some people say, well, you say that Jesus Christ is the only way, and if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to go to hell. You just judge somebody. No, what I share with you is what the Bible says. That condemnation does not belong to me. Nor are we told by God anywhere in the scripture to take up arms to fight for our faith, in the sense to defend our faith, or to kill people who will not believe as we believe. See, that even the progressives would say of me, you all are brainwashed. That's why you're here. Mm-hmm. Secondly, they would say, I want everybody to think like I do. And if not, I will overpower them. I don't even have that power in my own house. The dog doesn't do what I say. So I will overpower them and make them believe. No, listen. Here's what you need to understand. As a Bible-believing pastor and as a Bible-believing church, our call is to share the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ. What someone does with that is between them and God. And when we share with them and they decide to go a completely different way, that's their free choice. I don't have any problem. I have a problem with what they believe because I'm concerned about them. But if they hear it all and they reject all of it, that's their choice. I'm not here to put anybody in a hammerlock to believe what the Bible says. But I have a desire in my heart that everybody would come to salvation. Yet I know everybody won't. You know. So again, to me, this is an apt description. And by the way, progressivism, in the sense that we're talking about here, is a recent thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always been liberal theologians. There's always been, but the progressive, which is so active in the sense of presenting himself as a lamb, but acting toward the people they don't like the lion, same thing's going to happen here. Eric?
So I know it says he speaks like a dragon, not the dragon.
Right.
But still, it's a reference to a dragon, which we know that the dragon speaks words of deception
right.
only. So,
right. The whole thing is deception.
So it's all deception.
Yeah. And destruction, because we were, you know, his name, the dragon's name is Apollyon, which means destroyer. So what comes out of an apostate's mouth? That which destroys. There's only one word that gives life, right? There's only one word that gives life. So everything, every other word is contrary to the one word. So we want to say, well, they're benevolent and they say kind things and they, you know, you can kind somebody all the way into hell. Because you won't speak of the reality of sin and truth and all these kind of things. Right? So, and by the way, the Bible makes it very clear, those false teachers, those apostates, stand in judgment before God, and he'll deal with them. Yes.
Maybe my question is ahead of what you're going to explain, but I noticed that here it says it has two horns, but then it's like a lamb. Now, is there a reference where we've got two horns that are like a lamb? Or are the two horns working together, or what?
Now, that's an interesting question, because I don't have any idea on the horn thing, except for you would not expect a lamb to have horns.
Right. True.
You know, and if the horns speak of authority, you might also be saying this guy, where the one guy is going to be more political and stuff, he's going to be religious. This guy's going to have his feet in both places.
Ooh, okay.
So, I've never heard anybody explain why the two horn thing, nor have I read a commentary. They kind of pass over it because they don't know. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm passing over because I don't know. So, all right. Look at verse 12 now. It says, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence. So where the first beast, remember, speaks from the authority of the dragon. Now, the second beast, he is somehow subject to the first beast. Now, we believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we believe Father's God, the Son's God, and the Holy Spirit's God, which means if they're God, they're every characteristic and aspect of God is true of all three of them. Okay. But in relation to how the Lord works, I remember when Jesus walked in the flesh, he says, I only do my Father's will. Okay. And then, but when Jesus said, there's one I'm going to send to you called the Paraclete for the Holy Spirit, and he will take what is mine and he will give it to you. In the very same way here, the third beast or the second beast will take what the first beast is all about and mimic that and parrot it and put it out there for the purposes to get people to respond to the first beast. Okay. How do we come to God the Father? The Holy Spirit leads. How do we come to God the Father?
Jesus.
Through Jesus only, right?
Yes.
How are you going to come? How are you going to, in this day, acknowledge that you are a follower of the dragon? Through the Antichrist, through the second person of the unholy Trinity. It's all mirroring. Okay? Antichrist is the one that is presented by this whole scenario as being Messiah. And for the first part, the Jewish people will be, but because they have nothing to be grounded in, they will believe it. Because he will act in a way to do this. And then you'll have this false prophet, is what we usually call him, who will be there speaking on his behalf, be his great evangel in the world to get the world to follow him. And then he'll move beyond being that gentle lamb, and you're going to see it here, to an authoritarian. Okay. Up to and including the place, if you don't respond to his leading you to the Antichrist, you'll be put to death. Okay. So he exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell and worship the first beast, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. Well, who leads us in worship?
The Holy Spirit.
Not Tim, but the Holy Spirit. God certainly used human instruments to help us, but if the Holy Spirit's not leading a church in worship, that church is not worshiping. We can sing songs all day long. You know, we can do all the different aspects of worship that we find in the scripture, and we should be doing all the different aspects, but all those aspects of worship ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because we're not just a religious organization going through steps. Okay. We need the Holy Spirit to be leading us as we walk through that process of worship. And so once again, you see here the mimicking of the Holy Spirit. He's going to cause all to worship. We can go back even to the sense of the work of the Holy Spirit in redemption. Who brings us to redemption? Who brings us to Jesus? Who reveals Jesus to us? Well, again, it's the Holy Spirit. And once you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you worship Jesus. You worship God. You know, I remember over in our East Mesa church, we put up on the signboard, I've used this before, we worship Jesus here. And a Jehovah Witness gave me a call the next week. He said, your sign's wrong. He says, should say you worship God here. And I said, it does. And they hung up on me. So, think about this. We come to the Father through Jesus, but who brings us to Jesus and who works with through us through Jesus? Okay, is the Holy Spirit. And so you see that happening here. He causes everybody, notice here, to worship the first beast. Okay, because again, the mimicking is you go to the dragon, the unholy father, if you will, through his son or his representative, which is the first beast, the Antichrist. And talk about that deadly wound and stuff. So he's identifying so you don't miss it. We talked about that wound as we talked about the first beast. Okay, verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. We are cautioned, particularly by the Apostle Paul, concerning that in the last days there would be a lot of, he uses this term, lying signs and wonders. Now, it is the nature of humanity to want to see something fantastic. It's the nature of humanity to want to have their senses, stirred. And you'll remember, same thing, even when Jesus was here. I don't know how to say it. was it hard for Jesus? But I think Jesus made some things pretty clear that he knew that there were a lot of people following for the sensational.
Yeah.
And by the way, when he stopped basically doing the sensational all the time in front of them, what they kept saying, just show us a sign and we'll believe.
Yeah.
Well, he had already spent almost 3 years. Most of that phrase is used basically at the end of Jesus' 3 year ministry. So he had done these signs for 3 years in front of them. It never was enough. And I'm going to tell you this. If your religious approach is sensational, it will never be enough. I've seen people who are wildly doing different things and stuff. And for a while, one thing was good enough. And after a while, the one thing got old. So what do? They created a new thing. I've seen people on TV barking at the moon and saying that the Holy Spirit had given them the spirit of an animal to praise God with. That is nuts. That's paganism. Okay? You have them down on their knees and rolling in laughter and all this stuff. That, you know, the occult does stuff like that. And we got to be careful of that. Do I believe the Holy Spirit's moving? I've already told you, I do. Does he do supernatural things with his people? I believe that he does. Does he give different gifts for the purpose of the sharing of the gospel and the building of the church? I believe all those things are true. But we have to be careful that we can become so moved by the sensational spirit that actually what's happening is carnal. It has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. So he's going to be careful.
The actual happening and not watch.
Right. Right. So that's why we're warned. Be careful. There will come those who will lead you astray by lying signs and wonders. Now, you ought to get that now before all this happens, because you see, I hope what you've seen in this chapter is, again, how Satan mimics God. So you can know that if people are moved by the emotions and they're moved by the sensational, how would Satan mimic God in the church? He would steal the signs of the Holy Spirit and he would manifest them in the church to get people just to follow that. And as long as their senses are moved, they'll follow. Okay, that's what he's going to do here. Go ahead.
With the fire coming down from heaven, they're being mimicking Elijah.
Yeah, yeah, certainly, mm-hmm. Certainly. I mean, think about this. What would be sensational? You know, I've watched things where I saw this guy make an elephant disappear, and one guy made a jet plane disappear. I saw it on TV. It must have happened. You know. But all of us have seen things where you've seen a magician who does something. You go, there's just no way that your senses can, and you say he must know magic. Well, most of that is illusion, but there is magic. And I would say to you that that's a cult. And there are things that literally happen that, because what is Satan all about? Deception, deception, deception. And we've talked about the difference between the supernatural, which is God at work, and the natural, which is where we live most of the time. And then the paranormal. Where Satan works, or the occult, where Satan works. And remember, the supernatural is only about God. Only God can do the supernatural. He's unlimited. And we're limited because we're natural. And every once in a while, here's a miracle. When the supernatural steps into the natural and does something, it's a miracle by definition.
Yes.
Okay? And by the way, again, science can't repeat that. They can't fathom it, because by definition, it's beyond nature. But the occult also exists. It doesn't have the power of the supernatural, but it certainly has power that makes a natural sit there and scratch our heads and say, how'd that happen? And here, what I hope you see is that Satan the dragon is pretty much unleashed. And there's some things going to happen that are just people are just going to sit there with their jaws open. You know, it's not a matter of just calling fire coming down from heaven. That'd be enough. But upon command, to make it happen. So it's going to be, unless you are just really in this day tied into God. I mean, see, I think there are a lot of people in the church today that are being deceived by a lot of things. And I'm sitting there shaking my head and some of these things saying, can't you see? mean, it's right there, so obvious. And you know, I'm not saying that they're not believers. But even as believers, if we're not as believers walking the Holy Spirit, staying in the Word of God, staying close to Jesus, we too can be led astray. So we have to be careful of those things. I'm not talking about being led into eternal damnation, because our salvation is in God's hands. But there are a lot of Christians that you know, if you don't grow, if you stay a baby, it's easy to deceive a baby or a kid and stuff. I do magic tricks that my granddaughter say, "Wow, Papa, how'd you do that?" They don't say that much anymore. They're already smarter than I am. So, you know, but they're amazing. So the power of deception. Can I give you an illustration? We think about that. Things are happening in our own country. Okay. Yeah. They happen before people's eyes. The news or the political people get on the news and tell you it never happened. And people sit there and say, the news said it never happened, so it never happened. Or the news said it happened this way, so it must happen this way. Wait a minute, we were there. Yeah. We were there. We know it didn't happen the way the news said, but everybody says it is. People want to be led around, sadly, with a ring in their nose. Okay. Again, I would say what I want you to be is to be biblically literate and responding to the Holy Spirit. I don't want anybody, including myself, to lead you around by your notes. Okay, Sonny.
I think what you said also indicates how much more comfortable people are with legalism. But they want to know what they can do. This is how they can be satisfied. They can do this and they're not going to believe this. Because it's easier to have someone tell you what to do or what to believe, or this mm-hmm. is what's happened, rather than digging into it and finding out themselves or trusting by faith and ask the Holy Spirit to work with you. I think that
right. leads you're exactly right. right. People like to have their list. If I can check off my list for the day, I'm okay.
Yep.
Unfortunately, most people have a list that they know they can check off.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So. All right, so performs great signs. Makes fire come down from heaven, he talked about here. And he does this, guys, in the sight of men. Why? Again, I would warn you, be careful of those who only perform miracles when the cameras are rolling. Someone said, Pastor, you don't believe in faith healing? Yeah, I believe God heals. What I don't believe in is faith healers.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason why I don't is it only seems to work when the camera's running. If I had, you know, think about it. If you had the gift of healing, why wouldn't you go down to the children's hospital down there and just heal all those babies? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't it only work as long as the cameras are on and you're asking for people's money? See, again, that to me is deception that's happening in the church, where Christian people are sending their money to these charlatans. They're not real.
Yeah.
I'd be glad to give you names too. I won't do it right now, but if you want names, I'll give you names. But my point is, when it only happens when the camera's rolling, we got some issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
We were met with the pastors this morning. We talked about, and we had a lively discussion, because a lot of churches are going just to mm-hmm. where you have a church service and all it is putting this personality up on the screen. The pastor's not there. You're not there and stuff. I had a real issue with that, because I think there ought to be connection. I think that it's a biblical model to have connection stuff. And the other thing that I have a problem with is that builds a personality. We're going to pipe in a person. One of the pastors said, it could be, should the Lord tarry, that we could move to overall, that there are four or five, maybe six pastors in the whole United States that everybody's watching. And they don't feel like they don't. Huh?
They'll shut down live service.
That's exactly right. And there's no need for live service. That's the thought. We've got this great teacher here. We don't need this little podunk teacher that you know can only pull 20 or 30 people at a time. Here, you know, I've warned us against this for a lot of years. The personality driven church is in big trouble.
Yeah, okay.
When people are looking for a person, and I'm not saying if you like a teacher, you shouldn't watch him and stuff like that. I don't have any problem with that. What I am saying, though, if that replaces what the biblical church the assembling of the self together, the investment in each other's life, the serving one another, all that, then we have a real problem in the church if it's all on TV. And there are a lot of people. And I'm not, and again, I'm not even saying for those who cannot come to church, I'm glad that there are resources that they can watch and stuff like that. But we will have some people in our church that will not return. They just won't return. We have some people that have health issues that shouldn't return yet. We have others that, you know, they say it takes 21 days to create a habit. We've been far past that. You know, so I think we have to be careful of that. Don't let them rob what he said, that personal touch. The church was created to be a body where living happens, and there's a personal touch. Yes.
Could you name some faith healers that you
I'll throw out some very, you have Peter Popoff, you have Benny Hinn, I'll tell you, I watched Benny Hinn one time, and it was so obvious. They were doing this thing. Come up, Pastor Benny wants to pray for you. And he's blowing on people, and they're falling all over the place. And then they bring up this little baby. You can't disguise something. This little baby, he actually wasn't a baby. He probably was a teenager, but the kid had never walked. He was almost, when his dad was carrying, he was almost like a blob. I mean, he had no muscle tone, nothing like that. He was just, and he brings there, the handlers, there's always a handler there who brings them up to Pastor Benny, and he says, Pastor Benny, this is so-and-so, and he had one wish, you know, the Make-A-Wish thing, to come to a Benny Hinn thing, have Benny Hinn pray over you. And so Benny Hinn goes off. Did you hear that, people? He wanted to come see Benny Hinn, and he went on, and they said, and then while he's talking like that, his handlers are moving this dad and that little baby, that boy, to the back of the stage. He never prayed over him. He never touched him. He never did anything except use him as an illustration of how important it is to seek him. I have no use for that. And I think I warn Christians. If they're not living that or lifting up Jesus, if they're not doing that when the cameras are not on, you need to stay away from them because it's all about them. Anyways, so there's one, but there's a lot.
Years ago, this is even before I was saved or anything, I remember the name Catherine Kuhlman.
Yeah.
Everybody
thought she's dead. Yeah, it's the same stuff. She was also involved in a lot of mysticism and stuff like that. You have churches now that are teaching their people, by the way, one of them is Bethel, and I'll just put the name out there, teaching their people to go lay on graves of great spiritual people, and they absorb somehow, teach them to absorb the spirit off the grave. That's, first of all, that's necromancy. And you're teaching young people that this is it. This, folks, we are in full-blown apostasy. And many of the prevalent, not all, please hear me, many of the prevalent ministries are pushing this kind of stuff. Bethel talks about gold coming down out of the ceiling when they meet. Well, there's glitter coming down, but they call it gold. And when the pastor was asked about it, said, oh, it's the horse beat, it's the horse hoofs of the four horsemen, and they're jumping up and down, they're getting ready to come, and as they jump on the asphalt or the gold of heaven, they're kicking up shrouds of heaven, and it's falling down on us. They had angel feathers falling from the thing. And all these people, people are so gullible. I would say stupid, because they are stupid.
Yeah.
It again goes back to that sensation. All right, let's move on. Yes. Go ahead.
You alluded to being slain in the spirit, and that makes it so believable.
Yeah.
You know, like the Benny Hinn said, falling over makes people fall over.
Well, let me just share something with you. And I don't mean to disparage anybody's personal thing that you had. But here's my response to slain in the spirit. The only place I've ever seen anybody slain in the spirit is Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. They were slain by the spirit. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. But the other case, you say, well, I know somewhere else in the scripture talk about people falling back. Yes, they do. They were unbelievers, and they fell back when Jesus told them that he was who he was. They were not believers in a church waiting for someone to use their bad breath to blow on them or to hit them, or to hit them with their coat, or to hit them in the head, you know, anyways, guys, stop, just stop and think biblically. The Holy Spirit is never going to do anything contrary to what the Bible teaches.
The whole educational system for years now has not taught kids how to think for themselves.
Right.
Hand-fed, believe this is what it is, and they don't know how to think for themselves.
And sadly, some approaches to the church have done the same thing. They bought into that thing.
Sensationalism.
Yeah. One of the things I'm very glad for Mars Hill, rhetoric,
yes,
logic, and be able to express yourself. We put our kids in a school when they were in grade school. It was a Reformed theology school, and it was a Redeemer Christian school. They were taught rhetoric. They were taught logic. They were taught how to speak and stuff. They're able to express that. Now, that doesn't mean they're always going to express the right thing, but at least they're thinking. God didn't give you a brain to make you a puppet.
That's right.
Two.
I know some people who go to those kind of churches,
mm-hmm,
and they seem so committed to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not saying they don't have salvation or anything.
No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is there's a gullibility even in the church. And, you know, very few people, Christians, very few people will ever stop and say, what am I doing? What am I involved in? What's actually being taught? You know, what's being expressed? And I'm talking about, that's across the board. That's not just in those type of churches, but that's across the board. I mean, when I was growing up in a Southern Baptist church and stuff, I never heard. They skipped 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 1 Corinthians chapter 14, or they just mentioned it in passing. So what was I robbed of? I was robbed of the legitimacy of the Holy Spirit, filling us and using us and empowering us and teaching us. So the problem is, it seems so often, whatever church or religious movement we're talking about, everybody wants to be one or the other. So we had the Baptist who said, I see someone doing crazy stuff in a charismatic church, so we won't even deal with charismatic things. And then you have some people say, well, I only move by how the Spirit leads me. So those people say, I need to spend time in Bible study. I'm not going to do that. I don't need that. All I need is the Spirit. When the truth is, we need the Spirit and the Word.
Well, the truth is, when we get to share the gospel to somebody, and especially if God gives us the gift of seeing them respond, we've just witnessed the true supernatural.
That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest miracle ever. Is someone coming to a faith in Jesus Christ? You can't get better than that.
We just share the gospel. Yeah. If we're privileged to sometimes, I mean, it's always a privilege to share the gospel, but man, I don't know.
Yeah.
We've let other things.
I say it to myself.
I know. Yeah. We've let other things take priority in the church, and we got to be careful of those. All right. Let's go back to this. So, verse 14. And he deceives, which again tells you who his father is. Jesus made this very clear when he talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders that day. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Now, I remind you, Satan is the great deceiver. He's also the most deceived being that's ever existed. He is deceived himself. He thinks somehow he's going to be able to do things that he can't even possibly do. But it didn't stop him from trying. So, and somehow he's deceived himself to believe that he's going to win this. You know, and so, or some people say, well, he already knows that. That's why he's deceiving other people. It's his nature to deceive. I don't think he needs a reason to deceive. I think that's his nature. That's who he is. Okay. So, and what's his desire? His desire is to be worshiped. We see that in Isaiah chapter 14. He says, I'm going to be like the Most High. He wants what God has, including to be God himself.
I think I shared with you one time, Henry Morris, respect him. And he writes in there just his opinion. But he says, when you look at Satan, the way he's described, he says, think about this. Satan may even believe he wasn't created by God. See, that he just self-existed like God. So he really, perhaps, really believes he
can win. That would make sense if you're talking about him being the greatest deceived being, that he actually believes he's God. So what would be the purpose of the great deceiver? Well, the answer is to deceive. That's what he says here. So how's he going to do it? What is he going to use as instruments? The Antichrist and here the false prophet. So he says, and this is speaking of the false prophet, he says, and the false prophet deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast. Again, lying signs and wonders. These signs are not true signs of God. They, you know, and what did Jesus say about those who seek after signs? He didn't say those who seek after lying signs and wonders. He said about those who seek after a sign. He said those who seek after a sign, which includes follow signs, okay, are part of a wicked and sinful generation. You know what the Bible teaches? It doesn't teach that believers follow signs. It says, and signs will follow after them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Did you want to say?
Well, one of the deceptions in the teenage category and young adult that really just breaks my heart, there's a group of teenage young people that go to these different houses and literally call for spirits to come forth. And I mean, in my spirit, you know, it's like, okay, well, then one day as I was going by and that was on, the young girl that appears to be the leader of this group prayed at the end and used the name of Jesus. And me, I immediately just said, no, you have no authority. You're blaspheming. I didn't say it out loud because certain things I just know I can't say out loud or I get stomped on. I'm just being polite.
Well, and it all falls back. If you go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy and he gives, I think, 16th chapter, it gives very direct thing about necromancy, about conjuring spirits, about calling up spirits, about conjuring spells, all those kind of things. It's just listed right there.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's happening today in our churches, in some of these movements and stuff that are happening in our church today. And again, people are so, I want to say, ignorant of that, but they're just buying into it. Just buying into it. And maybe people are so hungry for the sensational. I don't know. I say, if you are, go to the circus. And again, please understand, that doesn't mean I don't believe that the Holy Spirit could have a sovereign move and do wonderful things. But I always think it would be tied to what Dave said. It would always be tied to people coming to faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he deceives those who dwell on the earth to do signs of the side of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now, look at what he is doing now. Can I ask you this? Who said don't make any images? You know, I'm going to tell you, that's never changed. Yet you have churches that are making images, statues, and putting them up on their property, a former pastor or their greatest pastors and stuff like that. Shame on them. The Jews took this so clearly, and even today. How many of you have ever seen a modern shekel? I know some of you guys have. There's not an image on a modern shekel. It's interesting when they asked Jesus about paying taxes, he said, give me a Roman coin. And then his next question was, whose image is on this coin? Why didn't he get a Jewish coin so he could say, whose image on this coin? Because there is no image on a Jewish coin. But whose image is on this coin? Well, Caesar's. Then give the Caesars what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. We have to be very careful. I was in a church where they wanted to, and again, I say these kind of things and people feel as I do, so I'm not going to But, you know, where every church, every pastor, previous pastor had to have their picture up, and they put them in the worship center where everybody can see all these. And when I got there, I said, those can't stay in here. So they moved them into the kitchen until I left. And when I went back to do a funeral for one of the members, they were back there again. You know, it's just, again, you say, well, you're supposed to appreciate those pastors or elders that are over you. Yeah, but not by doing contrary to that. We know the Bible says, you don't need these images. Why would you have an image? Anyways, think about that one for a while. I just, you know, again, so.
Do you think we should really expect our children that are going to government schools to be taught correctly?
Why would I expect that?
Well, no, I mean, I wouldn't think you would, but in light of all this.
And it's really getting worse. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And by design, it's getting worse. They didn't just wake up 6 months ago and say, hey, let's lead all this. This has been going on for decades. And if you haven't watched the slow slide, but we're getting to the place where they're just going to open up the dam and let it go. Because they feel they're at that. They really feel, I believe that they feel they're at their point that they can do that. Yeah. Or if they had tried to do that 10 years ago, it would have been so obvious that people said, whoa, stop. We're not going to let you have our public schools completely. So let's be, remember what they've done. Remember what these progressives have done. They have taken over in the last 30, 40 years. They have taken over all the institution of higher learning.
Yes.
Even what we would call Ivy League schools. Do you understand? Do you know that the Ivy League schools were grounded on the Bible? Harvard, Brown, Yale, all of those. And so what did they do? They took over that higher education. Why? So they could equip teachers to go into the lower levels of education and indoctrinate the kids with that stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, it's the exact same thing. You say, well, yeah, glad that's all secular. It's the same thing happens in our seminaries.
That's right.
If you don't watch, if a group does not watch what is being taught in cemeteries. Yeah, some of them are cemeteries. So, but if you don't watch that, Satan's going to be in there, and that's how it works. Why? Well, if I can get progressivism, if I can get quote what they call critical thinking today, whether critical race theory or whatever thing, if I can get that in the seminary, then guess who's the next level that gets taught that? Those young men and women walk out of the seminaries and they go into the churches. And they feed that garbage, that apostate, that thing to the people. You know, and again, once again, people are gullible. People are gullible. And so they say, well, our pastor said that. How many times have I told you, you're not allowed to say, as your authority, that our pastor said that? This is your final authority.
Yes.
Okay. And you're to check out everybody, including your pastor and pastors, whatever, however God does it in the future. If they don't square up with this, you need to either get rid of them or walk away from them.
That's right.
There's no middle ground.
Oh, that's one good thing about COVID and this got into schools. The parents have been able to see the online teaching. Right?
Yeah.
It's been an open door.
Yeah. You know what I found? There was a time that I basically, I would say that I believe the most, and I might say this still, the most critical component of a successful education, whatever way it is. I think that the public schools are so far gone now, it doesn't matter anymore, but I'll just say that. But for a long time, the most important component for these kids was parental involvement.
Yes.
Okay. That's why we're moving toward building, and we're starting to build parent-led education in our church. We want our parents to be, they should be, they should have always been. I think if Christian parents would have been aware of what their kids have been taught, things would have been stopped a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've taught, again, it's a way of thinking. Just send them off to the school. It's the schools that educate my kid. Listen, and they do this with church. Send them off to church. It's the church that tells my kids about Jesus. No. It's not the church's responsibility to teach your kids about Jesus. It's your responsibility. And the church will be there to support you, encourage you, and help equip you to be able to do that. It's the same thing with education. Think about how you said, well, if you do that, then people will be dumber than dumb. Well, can I ask you to think about and do a little bit of reading on our founding fathers who were educated at home? And many of them spoke multiple languages. Brilliant men who wrote the Constitution and wrote the Declaration. Brilliant men, not educated in a public school system.
Get killed by what they were saying.
Sure.
I think there, what's happening is terrible. But one little bit of optimism is what happened in West Virginia. Those three people that were elected, the governor, the attorney general, and the lieutenant governor.
People are picking up.
The power of the parents, they're finding out.
Yeah, and that's what, and that was a movement. That was a movement of a lot of homeschool Christian parents who said no. But you know, I think hopefully we understand that our hope and the answer is not in the political system. And that I'm not saying that to abandon it. I'm not saying that Christians ought to abandon it. I'm just saying we ought to be aware of what really is, because a lot of it is almost like putting your finger in the dike, you know. And I'm not saying we ought not to be involved, elect godly people, do all those same things, but at the same time, not from fatalistic view, we understand where the world's going. Hopefully we understand where the world's going. And the only hope we're going to have is keeping our eyes on the Lord. And again, that may manifest itself as Christians saying, we're voting for this person. I have no problem with that. You know, I'll close with this thought. We're already out of time. My friend Steve, who did our sound system, we grew up together, First Baptist Chandler. His dad was our pastor. He calls me Sunday. Sunday, we call each other on our birthday every year. So he calls me Sunday and calls me old man, although he's still a year and a half older than I am. And we always say happy birthday and tell each other we love each other. It's a great relationship God's given us. Well, he is the media minister. He's over all the media of First Baptist Dallas. So if you ever watch First Baptist Dallas, he does all that. In his control room, he has like 20 people that are running all these different things. We have one person back there trying to do the best they can. But anyways, he called me and he said, Pastor Jeffers, who's a pastor there and stuff. He said, listen to what he said today. So I listened to him yesterday and stuff. Here's what he said. He said, and he warned pastors of all size churches. He says, guys are coming after us now. He has gotten threatened. He has personally gotten threatened, and his church and ministry got threatened by the Biden administration and been told he will quit saying certain things. Okay. He says, they're going to come for all of you. And by the way, we know that.
Yes.
The question is, what's going to happen? There are several of us pastors, men that I admire greatly, who've already said, and I will say to you, the day won't come where the government will tell me what I can and cannot speak in the pulpit. The day may come when they haul us out of here, but it's not, you know what? If we have to compromise the gospel message to meet what the government said, we might as well just shut the doors. We have no distinction when we start compromising that way. So there's going to come a day where you can use the term you want, civil disobedience, whatever it is, when they command us to preach. And we have our brothers to the north in Canada are already dealing with this. There was a group down, they tried it down in the Houston area where they told pastor, we want a copy of your sermons for the last 6 months. I would just say to them, and the pastor said, no, we're not going to give you that. I would just say, hey, our website is right here.
Go listen to
them. They're all right there. But the point was, and I'll just say this for you, I don't want to make anybody mad, but the point was, it's not so much about them getting the sermons. They already know what these pastors are preaching.
Yes.
Or they wouldn't have asked for them in the first place. The point is power. The point is submission. I would say to you, the point of vaccine mandates are not the health of our country. They're control. They're power. And I'm not downing people who get vaccines. I'm not saying that COVID isn't real. I know it's real. I lost my cousin last week to COVID. I know it's real. And I know we're going to lose people to it. Same way we lose people to the flu and everything else. But the point of the mandates are not the health of our country. The point of the mandates are control. And if you can't see that, you've already given up your freedom. And that, and again, that's not a commentary on whether someone should get them or not get them. You make that. My thing would be, you make that choice. You're a free person, or you're supposed to be a free person. And you ought to do what you feel led to do. Anyways.
I think this is another good reason to celebrate the rapture, the pre-trib rapture, because we look at all these warnings and how it would possibly be deceived. And I worry that I would be deceived. I try not to. But at the same time, where this is a chapter 13, that's after the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
We're going to hold the pre-trib, and that is good reason right. to celebrate.
By the way, and I'll close again. So many good things, but let me just remind you, this, what we're talking about now, is another reason why we need to be in a church.
Yes.
And speaking to each other this way.
Yep.
It reminds me of what Paul said of the church in Corinth. He said, when they gathered together, people would speak. He said, two or three people speak, and the rest would judge. The judgment was not, you know, boom. It was an evaluation of what they said, and then they evaluated according to what the scripture said. Does this square with scripture? Okay.
Yep.
Well, wait a minute, brother. I think you got off. And it wasn't just a critical thing. It was, hey, brother or sister, you got off a little bit right there. That's really not scripture. And they go, oh, thank you for saying I got off. Then get all mad and go start the Second Baptist Church of Fountain Hills, which is the Baptist way. Just get mad and go start another one. Anyway. Yes.
It's the first thing that Jesus talked about in when he talked about the end of the age in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. I looked them up.
Right.
It's the same commentary by Jesus.
Exactly what we're talking about now.
The first thing, and that probably is the deceit that's going on. Bothers me so much, and thank you for talking about it. I mean, look, if case in point, look at Jesse Smollett.
Yeah.
I mean, a total lie and deception.
Hopefully you've already figured out that the truth doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not, it's what they say matters. So you catch someone red-handed doing something, there's no doubt about it, no doubt. And they manipulate it, and the propaganda is used, and before it's done, you know.
They're innocent.
Huh?
They're innocent.
Yeah, even though they're caught guilty. It's a crazy world. Welcome to the world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay in the Word, and stay in the body of Christ, because we need each other. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our opportunity to be together, for those who are gathered here and those online. Pray that, Father, we have even as we've had different commentaries and different things that we talked about this morning, that Lord, we want your truth. We want your way.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, again, as we speak to one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not, Lord, help us to learn that it's not from a critical thing, but it is from a place of discernment and biblical judgment, that we might speak into each other's life just the way your church was intended to. So thank you for our time together, for your goodness, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, online, we'll see you later.
Tommy.
Yes.